building blocks. Good for our hands and our eyes and our minds is what we learn how to put things together, building on top of one another. Life is much like Legos. Life is much like Legos, and it's learning to build life properly, learning to build my thought life properly, learning to build my emotional life properly, learning to build my physical life and the life that I see properly, learning to build spiritually. And this is the most important, because the spiritual world dominates the physical world. The spiritual world that is unseen, it is what dominates the physical world. Because at the end of the day, we know that God is going to cause all things to cease. And everything that has been planned and prepared will come to an end. And everything that we built, how we built properly. The Bible says at the end of the day, when you face judgment, it's how you built your life is what's going to matter. It's what you built your life on. It's what you built your life on. And is it sturdy? And is it strong enough to withstand every single thing? And what you built your life on, is it strong enough to go through the judgment of God? With that, this morning, we're going to go to Joshua chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1. Joshua 5, 1. And it says this. When all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so that the people of Israel could cross, they lost heart. They were paralyzed with fear because of them. Joshua 6, starting in verse 1. The gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. The Lord said to Joshua, I've given you Jericho, its king, all its strong warriors. You, your fighting men, should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town seven times with the priests blowing the horns. Verse 5. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horn, have all the people shout as long as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse. The people can charge straight in the town. So Joshua called together the priests and said, take up the Ark of the Lord's Covenant. Assign seven priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. He gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the Ark of the Lord. After Joshua spoke to the people, the seven priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched, and the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priests with the horns, and some behind the Ark with the priests continually blowing the horns. Do not shout, don't even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout. Verse 11, the Ark of the Lord was carried around the town once a day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. Verse 12, Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests again carried the Ark of the Lord. Verse 13, seven priests with ram's horns marched in front of the Ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priests with the horns and behind the Ark of the Lord. All this time, the priests were blowing the horns. The second day, they again marched around the town once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for six days. On the seventh day, Israelites got up at dawn. They marched around the town as they'd done before. This time, they went around the town seven times. Verse 16, the seventh time around, as the priest sounded the long blast on the horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed. You will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, and bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into the treasury. Last verse. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. And suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed. And the Israelites charged straight into the town, and they captured it. My title today is Wait For It. Turn to your neighbor and say, Wait For It. Wait for it. Did you hear the Canaanites? Did you hear what they were saying? Did you hear what the Canaanites were saying? And the kings and all the people, the servants, the slaves, everybody who lived in the towns. You know what they were saying? Did you hear what God did? God moved the Jordan River for these people. Sometimes it's 100 feet wide. Other times it could be up to a half a mile wide. 100 feet up to a half a mile. God stopped the water flow. The Canaanites, the kings, the priests, their priests, the people who worshiped, they worshiped a moon god. Oh, moon god, we love you, moon god. They, all of them, were saying the same thing. And you know what they were saying? We are in big doo-doo. If God moved the water for the Jewish community, and they're coming here next, what's God going to do to us? You know what they weren't saying? They weren't saying, man, those Jewish people, they're so cool. They're so awesome. Maybe we can befriend them. Maybe we're going to buy them some coffee and espressos. We'll have some donuts. We'll have a little, you know, breakfast chat. They weren't really talking about the Jewish community and how amazing the people were. But you know what they were talking about? How amazing, how awesome the Jewish people's God was. And in talking about their God, what did they say? What happened? It says that their hearts became paralyzed with what? Fear. The hearts of the enemy became paralyzed with fear. What does paralyzed mean? Unable to function. One of the things we talk about over and over again, fear. The only fear that is good is what? The fear of the Lord. Because one day when you stand before him, we all will be trembling. One day every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus said, why fear man? Could any man kill another man or woman? Absolutely. But what did he say? God can kill a man or woman, and he can throw your soul into hell. He is who you should fear. He is who you should fear. But we as people, many of us, from the beginning of time, over and over and over again, what we don't realize that we take little blocks that start little, and I'm afraid of the dark, and I'm afraid of this situation, and I'm afraid to get up, I'm afraid to stand up. And what happens when we get afraid? Just like these people, what does the word use? They become paralyzed. What does paralyzed do? Unable to function. Unable to function. And it's not just fear. Many people have built their lives on little things that causes them to not function when life matters the most. At the end of the game, when the play's been drawn up and the players have now to focus and to do the play the coach drew up, the utmost attention to detail and focus is important. But allowing a little bit of fear, allowing a little bit of distraction, what does it do? It causes us people unable to function. The enemy in this story became unable to function. And today we have a world that's full of people who are not functioning. And you know what they're not functioning? They're not functioning well at many things. They're not functioning well in so many different aspects of life because they allow little things. Life, the culture, fear, pride, arrogance, anger, lust, so many different words, insecurities that have caused our world and people today. That's why we spend thousands and billions on medications and psychiatrists, because we built life on improper little things. And improper little things have led to bigger things. And those bigger things have caused many unable to function, just as the enemies were in this story here. Paralyzed, unable to function. Now, on the other side of the token, the Jewish people spent time listening, hearing that their enemies were afraid. And how many of us in that moment, if we know, if we're about to get in a fight, and we're like, oh man, the guy I'm about, he's terrified of me. How many, man, I'm just ready. Let's go right now. Let's go to the bike racks right now. How many, when we know that the enemy is afraid of us, how many of us know that it seems like the banana is ripe and ready to go? It's ready to peel. We have to seize the moment. We have to take charge right now. The Jewish people in this moment, there's one thing they're battling with. Now or later, now or later. They knew that it was ripe and ready, and they knew that everything was perfect and everything was set up. And as Joshua was about to get ready to go in, you know what happened? An angel of the Lord stopped him. Whoa. Slow down, Joshua. Just because they're afraid doesn't mean you're just going to plow right through and plow right over them. So God has a different plan. And this is the plan that you're going to follow. Many of us in a hurry today. Many of us in a hurry about many things, about many situations. Many of us rush into so many wrong situations. So many rush into the wrong relationships. So many rush into wrong and harsh decisions because we're so in a hurry. And it's not just us Californians, even though we like to drive fast on the freeways and everywhere we go and speed up and speed around. We like to drive fast. But it's also a symbol of how we live our lives. We're so hurried. We're so impatient. If I need something, I need it now. If something isn't right, I got to fix it now. The situation was ready. It looked like it was set up. But what did God tell them in this moment? Wait for it. Wait for it. Turn to your neighbor and say, wait for it. Victory that we see in the story in life, it comes by learning to listen, to wait, to obey, and to follow God's word, God's plan. Many of us have plans in life, and many of those plans don't work. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But if you're not following this plan, guess what? Your plan will most definitely fail. If they just rolled through when they knew their enemies were afraid, they would have failed big time. They had to learn over and over and over again, just as we do, to wait for it. And so God says to him through an angel, this is the plan. This is the plan. You're going to send out the ark. What is the Ark of Covenant? It's God's presence. It's a symbol of God himself. What did he say? You're going to allow the ark to be carried by the priests. There's going to be men guarding the ark. You're going to guard it. You're going to walk around the Jericho with fortified walls that were 25 feet high and 20 feet wide. 25 feet high, 20 feet wide, pretty nice walls. But my ark goes what? First. And why does the ark go first? How many of us know God from the very beginning of time? What did he say to establish? I'm God. I created the heavens and the earth. A couple things to remember, a couple things to remind ourselves. An expert in the religious law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, what should I do to get inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, all your strength, all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, yes. What do we have to remind ourselves daily? Love God with everything that I have. Number two, Exodus 21. God gave people instructions. I'm the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or image or anything in the heavens and the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, who will not tolerate your affection for other gods. So what was the plan? The plan was, let me go first, put me first, keep me first, God-centered, God first. God-centered, God first. When I wake up in the morning, what's God want me to do today and plan out the week? God first, God-centered. God first and God-centered. The ark goes first. You're going to bring the ram's horn. The ram's horn is a sign of worship. It's what they use for worship and also military action. It was to put the fear of God and other people to sound, let's go. It's time to go. And so the seven priests had the ram's horn in life and war and love and work and home and everything we do, carrying the symbol, the horn, the blast, the noise of victory, and it's time to go. Thirdly, God said to them, and I love this, guys, Joshua turns to him and says, do not shout and do not talk. He tells them to walk around this place called Jericho. We're going to do it 7 days. A 7-day test. 6 days, you're going to walk around the city walls once a day. 6 days, once a day. Each night you go home, you get to go to sleep, get a nice little nap in, wake up. On the 7th day, you're going to walk around the city 7 times. And then we're going to blow the horn. And then we're going to shout. But you know what he told them when you're walking around? Silence. Why did he tell them to be quiet? How many of us know the people were afraid of the Jewish community? And when they saw them coming over, they're probably expecting them to just blow through, tear down the wall, beat them up, and kill them, right? What were they doing? They were just walking around the city. I'm sure people were talking. I'm sure people started to mock them. What are you going to do today? You're just going to walk around our city again? Is that all you're going to do? Is that how you're going to hurt us? Is that how you're going to affect us? I'm sure that they were mocked. I'm sure that they were made fun of. Is this is how God is going to give you victory? This time you're just going to walk around us? And you know what happens sometimes when things start to get to our head? What do as people? We start to take in what other people say and we start caring about what people are saying about us. He said, don't shout and don't talk. Don't shout and don't talk. Why? Because sometimes silence is best. When we're not happy as people, what do with our mouths? Have you ever seen Pac-Man? Pac-Man and Mrs. Pac-Man. You know what they do? They're gobbling and they're eating stuff. James 1:19. Understand this, dear brothers and sisters. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry, slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to get angry. Proverbs 10:19. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love the talk will reap the consequences. Why were they told to be quiet? Because you know what I think happened in that moment? I think walking the first day, no problem. Walking the second day, this kind of sucks, doesn't it? I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing here? And you know what happens? Those thoughts, They become verbalized. Verbalized out loud. The guy in front, to the guy behind. And then you start giving power to those words. Those words would become power. Then people would start complaining. The people who are on the wall and making fun of the people down below, they probably would start, you know, saying some choice words for them back. Just because people talk about us, does that mean we should talk about them back? No. Just because other people are doing things that make them successful different than what we do, does that mean that we should care? No. The only thing God's put us here on this fine earth to do is to obey the plan of the Lord, to obey the word of God. Anything other than that, we shouldn't care. God's purpose, his mission, and his plan is for us to obey his word. This is the only way for all humanity, not just for us in here, not just for us who believe and we're called Christians and sons and daughters of God. If you want happiness, peace, love, joy, success, to be fulfilled, satisfied, it's only in the plan of God. It's only in his plan, and it's only in his purpose. It's only in his way. And one of the greatest things in life for these people, and then in this moment, what were they told not to do? Don't talk. We verbalize things and give power to too many foolish words. Have you ever heard a foolish person talk before? And you're like, man, they sound like such a babbling fool. You know, if you go out and listen to people who've had too much to drink, have you ever listened to someone who's had too much to drink? They sound like a babbling fool. When people start to talk and they don't know how to stop themselves, they start to empower the words and the negative thoughts which they believe and the negative emotions which they're believing. Once you do that, the little things that you're thinking about, the little things that you were feeling in your heart, that you now verbalize, what did you do? You made it bigger. You took something little that was a little thought, negative, because we're all negative 80% of the day in our head. But when you allow those thoughts to come into the heart, to verbalize out loud, if you verbalize it, if you give power to that word, you now have just made it what? Bigger. So God tells the people there, God first, God-centered, bring the horn, blast the sound of praise, worship, victory. Thirdly, what? Be quiet. We have to learn to be quiet and allow God to move, to speak. 6 days. One of the crazy things about this, to me, 6 days, once a day, seventh day, seven times on the seventh day. God loves the number seven. Created the world in how many days? Six. You know what the number six stands for? You. Man, woman, people, humanity. The number six, what does it represent? It represents us. At the end of the world, at the end, God says there's going to be a person, evil, who's going to force people to wear the sign 666 in the forehead or in the hand. But what does that number, he said, mean? It's the number for humanity. 6 days, walk around once. Seventh day, you walk around seven times. What's seven? It's the totality, perfection, and completion of God. And something very clear in this story that God points out, if you are always stuck on six, what's that? Stuck on myself because I got a lot of self-love. You'll never get to that day of rest. And you're never going to get to the day of completion. And you're never going to get to the day of perfection. And you're not going to see the victory and the power and the might of God. It's learning to move from six to seven. I must get off myself. I must get off my way. I must get off the things that I've learned. Even though I've learned some good things, I've also learned some bad things. Getting completely out of myself. I have to completely get out of me so that I can learn what seven really means. So that I can learn God's ways, which are what? Higher and far above whose ways? my ways. Getting from 6 to 7. How many of us spend more time in 6 than we do 7? If they only marched around 6 days, what would happen? Absolutely nothing. How many of us, it's what we're doing. We're marching around 6 days, and we're stuck on 6 days. And what are we getting? Absolutely nothing. Because we're not allowing ourselves to move past ourselves so that we can get into something far greater, into 7, the day of rest, totality, perfection, in completion of God. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on what? Yourself. Yourself. We can read the Bible and we can say, it sounds so good. So many things sound so easy. It's not till we start following and obeying do we see the benefit. Yes, trust in God with all my heart. Do we? Probably sometimes, not all the time. Don't depend on yourself. Let's be honest. How many of us depend on ourselves every single day? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and stop depending on yourself. Seek God in all you do. He will show you which path to take. What path should we take every day? Not the path that I want. Not the path that I want to choose. It's God first, God-centered. Do I want to see 7? Do I want to see rest, perfection, and completion? Absolutely. How am I going to find it? How am I going to get there? How do I see the victory that God has for me? I got to get away from me. I have to get away from me. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord, turn away from evil. Matthew 16:24, that was the writer of Proverbs. Here's the writer, here's Jesus himself. Do you want to be my follower? You must give up your own way. Take up your cross, follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose. If you give up your life for my sake, then you're going to find it. What is this story? What is our theme through the wilderness? Fighting the good fight in 2024. It's learning to understand God has so many things in store for me. It's given and it's promised, but it doesn't mean I just can take it like candy. I can just open up the bag and eat whatever I want. It's learning to fight. The promised land was given, but it had to be fought for. The promised land was given, and they had to fight blood, sweat, and tears to get it. No matter, God has promised and he has given it, but what do we have to do? We have to fight for it. We have to fight for it. And in this story, as they're in the promised land, as they're about to take the promised land, was it just with clubs and swords? Was it just with their physical might? Man, they walked around the desert for 39 years. Their legs had to have been semi-buff, right? They had to be in some decent shape. They were eating manna and quail every day. That diet's probably a heavy diet, made them strong and tough, right? They probably looked good. They were chiseled. But no matter their shape and condition of their heart, mind, and soul in that moment, did they trust in themselves? Or is God saying, trust in my plan? Could they have taken it? Maybe. 6 days. 6 is what? It's the number of us. 7th day, whose number is that? It's God's. 6 days walk around once. 7 days walk around 7 times. 7 priests, 7 horns, 7 times. You will only find what you're looking for when you're willing to step out of you and step into him, getting from 6 and moving to 7. Rest, completion, totality, the perfection of God. And how did Jesus say it? Just like the story symbolizes in Joshua, that's just like walk around the city 6 times, 7 days, all that stuff. If you want to be my follower, give up your way. Take up your cross. Follow me. If you hang on your life, you're going to lose it. So many people are trying to hang on their life today. And you know what they're doing? They're losing life. No matter what we try to do to hang on to life, if you're trying to hang on to your own life, what did Jesus say? You will lose. But if you give up your life for me, you're going to find life. We have to move from 6 to 7. Do you want to see all that God has for you? Do you want to see that all God has for your family? It's not in what you plan and prepare. It's not what I plan and prepare. It's not what I make. Can I make breakfast with eggs and bacon and sausage? Sure. But you know who can make it even better? My wife. You have to learn to surrender and move from six so that you can take on seven and all that he has for you. The last and the greatest instruction of the Lord that he gave to them, six and moving into seven. And at the end of the time, at the end of this week, at the end of 7 days, after marching around 6 days once every day, on the seventh day, marching around what? Seven times. All these people protecting the ark, getting insult. They probably threw some rocks. Because how many of us know we like to have fun as people? I'm sure as they're walking around, you had some knuckleheads who were throwing, you know, spitballs at them, throwing little rocks. How many of us know they probably were picked on? They probably were insulted. They probably were so made fun of, it's not even funny. Look at these dorky people. But they endured for how long? 7 days. They stuck with the plan to what? Until the end. They stuck with it until what? The end. Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Do you have enough within you to stick it out to the end? Do you have enough stirring inside of you that you don't allow the distractions and money and the pride of life and arrogance? Do you have enough in you to not let anyone or anything distract you from the purpose and the plan that God has for you? These men stuck it out for 7 days. And at the end of 7 days, what did they do? Their last final blow on the ram's horn. Man, they blew and they made a loud noise. And then what happened? Joshua said, it's time to shout. They were quiet for 7 days. They couldn't talk for 7 days. I'm sure they went home at night and they probably were tired, but I'm sure they said a few things before they went to bed, before they laid their head down on the dusty ground. They had to be quiet. But now it's time to shout. And shout with everything that you have within you. Why are we shouting? Nothing's happened yet. How many of them are thinking, we've done this for a week. Nothing's changed yet. Nothing's happened. Why am I praying? Nothing's changed yet. Why am I continuing to do the right things? Nothing's changed yet. You know how many people, they try God. It's like we're going to go on a trial basis. We're going to try it out here for a little bit. And we're going to try praying. And we're going to try reading. But you know what happens? Nothing's happening yet. Oh my gosh. Why am I going to shout? Why would I shout loud? What was shouting symbolizing? Victory. If you were to look at it, if you were standing there and you heard them blow the horn and shout, did they have victory yet? No. So they had to stand and shout in faith what was yet to come. They had to stand and shout for what yet was to come. They didn't know what would happen next. But the minute that they shouted in faith, what happened? The walls came down. Faith in God and trust is the very, very beginning and basis for building our lives. Faith and trust in God and in his word and what he said is the greatest building block you can build, I can build our life on. But there's moments, just like these men faced here, where we're going to be faced with situations where we have to shout. Why am I shouting? God, I haven't been provided for yet. God, why am I shouting? I haven't been healed yet. God, why am I shouting? These relationships aren't fixed yet. God, why am I shouting? I don't see it. I don't see the victory. God, I don't see it. So why are we shouting? Because at some moment, your faith, my faith, our faith, we have to get moved to a point where we see in the spirit what God's already going to do in the physical. Shout, God has given us victory. The walls, after this loud shout, come crumbling down. And that's a beautiful picture. I'll never forget when I was 15 and went to a camp in close to Anza, past Anza, with our youth group. And it was all about the walls coming down. And so our youth pastor at the time, Tony, wonderful man, we get there and had no idea. It's supposed to be fun. You know, we're going to go out camping in the middle of nowhere. It's dirt, fun. As long as they're good food, we're gonna go to the beach one day. So sign me up for the beach, right? That's what kids do. If you're not signing up because you're gonna go have, you know, good God time, you're signing up for the fun stuff, right? Which that's okay. So we get there, and the whole thing we find out is about tearing down the walls. And Tony, the youth pastor, built a wall that was probably 40 feet long and probably 3 feet high. And then it just to start to describe in the spirit about the walls that we build. From a young age, because we live and we're born in a broken time. There's things, unfortunately, yes, we got from mom and dad. There's things that we got from siblings. There's things as we continue to grow, we got from friends. We got from teachers. They're all different shapes. There's different words that we heard, and they affected us. There's things that people have done to us that what? They affected us. And so what did we do? We started to build walls because we want to protect ourselves. That's what we do as humans. We want to protect ourselves. If you hurt me, I put up a wall, so you're never going to hurt me again. And so for 3 days, we continue to hear about the walls coming down. And the different things that as kids and even adults that we've done to build up walls because we want to have a guarded heart and a guarded mind so you don't get the best of me again, so you don't fool me again, so you don't betray me again, you're never going to hurt me again, you're never going to do this to me again. So many walls that we build because on this side we want to protect our heart and our mind. Because you know what the devil tells us? Your feelings are at the utmost importance. Your feelings and your thoughts, the enemy says, they have to be protected at all costs. Your feelings and your emotions, what you're thinking and feeling and how you live, they need to be protected at all costs. So let's build bigger walls. Let's build taller walls. Let's keep on building. Until what? You can't see. You can't feel. And you don't let no one into your inner space because the walls are big. And you know what we have today? We have a generation of lonely people. Why? Because they built a lot of walls. We have a generation of young people and old people, depressed, lonely, more anxiety than ever, struggling on a mental level more than ever. Why? Because without realizing it, what someone told them was good, this little building block, it's good for you. The devil, he says, this is good for you. I know, look, it's red and shiny. It's plastic. It can't hurt anybody. If I throw it at you, you're not going to get hurt, right? It could sting for a minute, but it's not going to hurt. Take this. Take this thought. Build your life with it. But what the devil didn't tell many is that the more you build, the less you see. The more you build, the less you feel. The higher those walls become, the bigger, more intense. You've locked everybody out of your world. And how many people today are in that exact situation? I'm not letting anyone in. No vulnerable. No love, no feelings. Cold as ice, baby. Cold as ice. Ice, baby. Cold. Because my walls are big. And you know what happens? People realize, hey, the walls that I've built, these are not healthy for me. At some point, people have the realization, this is not good. What I thought was good and self-protecting and everything good for me, it's not good for me anymore. So you know what we do? We start speaking to the walls. Walls, you need to come down. We go and talk to people. Hey, can you help me tear my walls down? But you know what happens? The walls still remain. In this story, there were walls. They were tall. They were wide. They weren't just plastic. They were heavy. They were big walls that were built with real, tough, strong material that were big. Why? Because when you're building a wall, you start little till it becomes bigger and stronger. Our text this morning started with a group of people who became paralyzed by fear, unable to function, because there was one thing that they were afraid of, that when they accepted it, it became concrete in their life. When they accepted the lie, fear, pride, arrogance, lust, it's okay to look, it's okay to watch, it's okay to be afraid of this and that. You become a person unable to function, and what was little and plastic, you could push it around. When accepted, it has now become something concrete in your life. And now it's hard to move around. Can you imagine if you had a ton of these in your life, physically, unseen, that you're just carrying around with you? One, okay. Two, probably still doable. If somebody dumped four of these things on you, I wonder how well you'd be walking around. And spiritually, that's how many people are. Man, I got so many heavy bricks. I've got so many heavy things in my life. Because what started little ended up being big. And then it made it strong. Is there any walls that you've built in your life this morning? Spiritually, you know, sometimes people build walls between us and God. When life doesn't work out the way that we want to, some people put a wall between us and God. God, I don't like you. I'll still come to church. I'll still read my Bible once in a while. But I don't like you. Being a Christian is supposed to be easy. We're supposed to dance on rainbows and fly around in the clouds. God, I don't like you. Seems too tough. This Christian thing seems a little rough. Let's put the wall up. And how many people today have a wall between us and God? And how many people have a wall between one another in friendships, in relationships, in marriages? Because what started off little became bigger until we kept feeding it. And then it became hard to carry and push around. And then when we realized, I've got a problem here. Many freak out, panic. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? I got to take care of this. I got to go now. My world's coming to an end. I better. There's certain things that no doctor, no psychiatrist, no friend, no person on this planet can help you deal with. But there's only one place you can go. One place that has every single thing that you need. Because we're in a broken time and a broken system. Sometimes you know what we do? We give broken advice. Advice that doesn't help us get rid of the walls. Advice that only makes them bigger. Sometimes the advice we give, we think it sounds right, but you know what? We just built an even higher wall for someone. Are you dealing with any walls this morning? Are there any walls that you've built and surrounded your life with, like a fortified fortress, like Jericho in this story, tall and wide, not letting anybody in? Are there anything in your life separating you from being 100% vulnerable before God? God, I don't know how to do what you're calling me to do. That takes being humble. God, I don't know if I can stand up and tell someone the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know if I could get up and preach. I don't know if I can get up and walk down Hemet in the streets because I could get ran over and killed. Someone could throw things at me. What God has called you to, God will get you through. What God's made you to do, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. What's the number one most important thing we should be focused on today? I need to do and be what God has made for me. So this morning, as we start to wrap up, a couple of verses I want to read, and then we're going to close. First Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before so many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6:12. Ah, yeah. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Faith in God. Faith in God. Faith, hope, trust, obedience in God. Fight the good fight. Hold tight to the life which God has called you to. Fight the good fight. 6 days, once. What's the number of six mean? Me. 7 day, seventh day, what is it? God. Completion, totality, perfection. And if I'm always going to be stuck on me, I'm not going to get to where God wants me to go. To number seven, his rest, his completion, his perfection. Isaiah 55:9, just as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways, they're higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer, bread for the hungry. It's the same with my word. I send it out. It always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to do. It will prosper everywhere I send it. The Jewish community, as we start to wrap up and close this morning, they spent 39 years circling and wondering. With the kids in the moment in Joshua chapter 6, what they had is they were taking over the land that God had promised to them. But they had 39 years of training, 39 years of watching mom and dad screw up. They had 39 years of watching parents and adults die because they failed to obey the word of the Lord. They spent 39 years wasting because older people did not want to obey the word. 39 years. Kids who had to watch old people screw up and screw up and screw up and screw up. Until what? Until they died. And until the younger generation said, you know what? God will take the calling. God will take the purpose. God will take the mission. We are ready. We watched enough knuckleheads screw up the last 39 years. God, I'm ready. Let's go. 39 years because fear seized the heart of 10 men. 39 years. 39 years because fear seized the heart of 10 men and they were afraid to do what God had asked them to do. Let's not be foolish to know this morning. God's asked every one of us, here's your mission, your purpose, and the plan. Mission, purpose, and plan. And if we fail,
If we fail to seize that mission and purpose and plan, if we fail because we're afraid, if we fail because we're too busy and we're too distracted, we got to build our kingdom. We got to build up our stuff. We got to build what we're doing here. If we're just too busy and we're just too distracted, all the things that you build, no matter how good you think they are, if it's not God's mission, plan, and purpose, you're just going to pass them on to your kids. Wasted 39 years because people were afraid to do what God asked them and gave them to do. God's the creator. When we ask our kids to do a job, do we expect them to follow through with it? And if your kids don't do what you ask them to do, do any of us ever get frustrated? So why would it be any different from God? If the mission, purpose, and plan laid out in His Word, make disciples, preach the Word, tell everybody you know who I am, invite people to church, build the church. If we fail on the mission and the purpose and the plan, who's the one to blame? Is it God's fault if we pay? Kids watched their parents fail miserably, but they got the promised land. They got it. It was a struggle. It was a fight. But the kids took over. There's fight in you. Fight the good fight. There's fight in you. God's stirring something inside of you today. Something strong and powerful that God is stirring. Your life, my life, our life. You know what? It's not over yet. The mistakes of yesteryear can be long gone and washed away and erased with new memories of the ones we can do right now. Everything in the past, God has forgiven. When we simply say, God, forgive me, and we can move forward, continuing and finishing what He's put us here to do. My title today is called Wait For It. And it's Wait For It because the men, lastly, before the very last thing they had to do as they entered the land, what was it? I got to wait for God's plan. I got to wait on God. Even though the people were primed, their enemies were ready. They were scared and terrified. Everything was primed and ready for them. But what did they have to do? They still had to wait. Isn't that the hardest thing for us to do, is to wait? Isaiah 40, 31. We can close with this verse if you have your Bibles. Isaiah 40, 31. Jump up to 28. Have you never heard Isaiah 40, 28? Have you never understood? The Lord, He's the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. God never grows weak or weary. God gives power to the weak. God gives strength to the powerless. Even young people would become weak and tired. Young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who wait, those who trust, interchangeable, trust and wait. And who? Well, if I just trust myself, I'm going to get me through another day. If I just trust what I got in the bank, I'm going to get through another day. If I just trust in myself and what I've learned the past 35 years, I'm going to make it another day. Will you? Yes. But if your hope and trust, and if you're not waiting on God, you'll never, ever find everything you're looking for. And your kids will never find what they're looking for. And it's going to keep going. until somebody stops. The kids in this story stopped. And what did they do? Like Isaiah, they answered the call. God, who are you going to send? What did he say? God, send me. The Jewish kids in this story, through the wilderness, through watching the knuckleheads, God, send me. I'll take the call, the mission, and the purpose. Let's go. Learning to wait for it. The right time, the right moment. Waiting for his healing. Waiting for his provision. Waiting for someone to be saved. Waiting the right time to prophesy. Waiting the right time to speak. Silent for 7 days until the last final shout. Our very opening text this morning, two men, they wanted to be healed. They were born blind. They could not see. Jesus, help me. What happened? Their friends, shut up. He doesn't want to bother with you. He doesn't really care about you. He's not going to listen to you. Jesus, help me. Zip it up. Zip it up, Johnny. Shh. What did the two blind men do? They shouted louder. It's a time to be silent, and there's a time to shout. And when it's time to shout, man, let it all out. What was the symbol of the shout? God's given me victory, even though I can't yet see it. Because right after they shouted, what happened? The walls and everything, they came down. When you wait for it, when you wait for the plan, when you wait for his word, when you wait for his voice, when you're silent when you shouldn't speak, when you don't make any moves when God says sit, when you don't do anything that you're not supposed to and you're waiting patiently, there'll come a time when God says it's time to shout. And the walls will come down. And the walls will come down. God can deliver and heal these bodies. God can provide for us in a way we can't provide on our own. God can heal and restore families and marriages. God can bring those who are stuck in darkness and into the light. God can do things that are out of our hands, out of our control, things that we can't make happen. But when we place our lives in the right hands, in the Master's hands, taking our faith and trust in the plan, God will do great things. And God has great things for you. God has good plans for you. God is our shepherd. Lead me. God has good plans. God has great things. I just need to wait for it. Let's pray.